This is Doug Green, and I'm the publisher of Telecom Reseller. And today we're doing a special podcast on behalf of the ASCDI. And we have with us Eric Smith of Impression Products. Eric, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, Doug.
So, Eric, you are an entrepreneur that is involved in an historic case about to be heard by the Supreme Court. But first, what does Impression Products do?
Well, that's a good question. Sometimes I wonder that myself. But no, Impression Products is a family-owned West Virginia company that started in 1978 by my father, Walter Smith. Walter worked for a company called Roytype in the early to mid-70s. He became a sales rep in Charleston, West Virginia, selling ribbons for typewriters. And probably around 1977 or so, Roytype went under. And by that time, my father had built up a pretty nice little clientele here in the Charleston area and thought, well, maybe he could make a go of starting his own business selling, of all things, ribbons for typewriters. And from there, you know, typewriter ribbons turned into printer ribbons. Throughout most of the 80s, and then by the time I came along, late 80s, early 90s, printers were going to laser, and that's kind of when I stepped in, and we started at that point offering not only the OEM laser toners, but also aftermarket remanufactured toner cartridges, and that's where we are today. In 2016, we are selling now printers, copiers, supplies, and service.
So, yeah, let's expand on that, because in addition to the ink and cartridge business, you also apparently have a service and repair business too.
Correct. It became apparent to me early on, you know, when you get into remaking a product that you better get out there and take care of the equipment as well, because if not, it's going to be easy for maybe another repairman to come out, no matter what the problem, and blame your product, whether it has anything to do with the product or not. So it became apparent to me we needed to start servicing the machines that we were making products for. And you know, as time went on, I decided to just basically give that service away as basically a thank you to our customers that were buying products from us, because I noticed no one, you know, a lot of times I was noticing anytime a repair needed to be done on a printer or a copier, a lot of these companies were charging people just $100 to walk through the door. So I decided that, you know, hey, if these people are sticking with me and buying their products through me, this is a service I could surely give away. And kind of stay one step ahead of the competition.
Now, are your products and services available regionally, or are they available nationally?
Yeah, right now we're pretty much mainly just a West Virginia company. You know, but with this case, we're starting to get our profiles growing a little higher. We're starting to see our products now everywhere. But for the last 25 years, we've been a West Virginia company. We've been able to make our living selling to the banks, law firms, hospitals, and businesses here in West Virginia. But it was with this case, believe it or not, that caused so much stress and anguish and restless nights that, you know, finally thought, you know what, let's turn this negative into a positive and, you know, let's get our name out there and let's kick some butt.
Well, let's drill down a little bit into that case. What happened?
Well, I think, you know, I don't know if I'll have my years right here, but I think I started receiving letters from Lexmark around 2010, basically cease and desist, you know, quit making our toner cartridge type letters, and really didn't know what to make of it. We've been doing it for years. It never had been a problem. They were saying that a patent infringement had occurred. I wasn't even aware that there'd been any infringement, so I wasn't really clear on what they were talking about, and kind of thought, to be honest, maybe it was just a bluff. Maybe they were just trying to send these letters out to as many people as they could, see what they could maybe get back, if people would settle, and then it would just all go away. That was my hope. But unfortunately, the letters continued to the point where I was actually served papers at my business one day in front of my staff employees, served papers, and at that point I realized it's time to start looking for an attorney.
And what happened after that? I take it that it went through a series of different courts?
Correct. Well, at that point, I really didn't know what to do. I realized that then it was serious. I was going to have to, step up and either quit, give up, or fight. And so I started making phone calls. It wasn't just me that they were sending these letters to. They sent letters to a lot of companies like mine throughout the country. So I started calling other people that I noticed that they had went after as well. And one by one, unfortunately, every one of them was backing down. No one wanted to stick up and fight, which I found unfortunate because that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to make a stand because I didn't feel like I was doing anything wrong.
So
surely someone else. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to ask, why did a small West Virginia company decide that they were going to fight a fairly large company?
Well, because we have hard work. This is a family-owned business with family and friends. And, we started this business from the ground up, and we worked very hard to be where we're at today. And I just wasn't going to, in 2010, just say, it's been a fun ride. We're going to, pack our bags and go home. That's just not my mentality. My thing is, if you're right, you fight. And I just thought at the end of the day, we were fighting for the right thing. And I had called some industry attorneys and found one that by the name of Edward O'Connor, who was willing to take the case. And the reason why we chose, though, is because it is personal. Thought maybe we could turn this negative into a positive.
Why is the principle that you're fighting on important to people beyond your own company and your employees?
I think from our standpoint, if a person goes out and buys a $200 or $300 toner cartridge and uses that product up to where it's completely empty, shouldn't that product be theirs to do what they want to do with it? They're not renting it. They went out and paid their hard-earned money for that product. So that's the battle right now. Whose property is it once the product's exhausted? We feel that it's the person that went out and spent their money. But I think maybe Lexmark feels otherwise, and it's almost like, I think they're saying it's almost like a rented product, where we would disagree.
So, Eric, what I'm wondering is, if I'm not involved in the business of basically ink and refilling ink and so on, does this case impact me?
Yeah, I mean, this case has ramifications in general on all consumers and products, in my opinion, Doug. For instance, if Lexmark were to win this case, then other manufacturers be able to cite their patents to slap on similar kinds of restrictions on the reuse of their products.
And in a sense, it sounds like, whereas most Americans figure when they buy something, they own it, you'd almost be sort of just buying an experience of the product, and you wouldn't really own what you thought you bought.
Exactly. Almost in a sense, renting the product. So I think that's a dangerous, slippery road we're going down here.
And so therefore, I guess there's a lot of interest, especially if you think about technology, where there's a lot of things going on, a lot of interfaces and so on, for end users who want to actually own the products that are in their network, this has impact.
Exactly. Even the simplest of devices at home could become post-sale restrictions that could lead to, you know, different monopolies of all kinds, you know, which, in my opinion, would cause poor quality products at the end of the day with, but yet higher prices. Okay. I think even more importantly, it could create a monopoly over a product that would result, in my opinion, in a lack of competition, poor quality, yet higher pricing.
So this has a lot of implications legally and also for technology and so on.
Yes.
Are there places where we can learn more about the case?
I think pretty much type impression product or Lexmark, if both of our names together, you can pretty much find all the information you want out there.
And where can we learn more about impression products?
Well, we do have a website. It's impressionproductsinc.com. But again, like I had mentioned earlier, we've been a company that's resided in West Virginia, been happy to serve West Virginia for the past 30 plus years. It's just here recently that we've decided to try to offer our products elsewhere. Why not us? We've become a leader in our industry in terms of our people, the people that were here in the early 90s making these products are with me in 2016. So make a very good product, and we tie a nice on-site warranty with that product, and we just like to say if you respect or agree with what we're trying to do here, give us a look.
Well, Eric, thank you very much for joining me today, and we want to wish you the best of luck in the upcoming case, and thank you for fighting for a lot of people's rights.
Doug, if I could mention one more thing, before we close.
Sure.
Ago, that the one industry that really has the most to lose from this case is the auto part industry. And from what I've noticed, if you walk into a lot of these different auto part stores like the AutoZones or the O'Reilly's or the NAPA's, they are all using Lexmark printers. And it looks to me like all of these stores are buying their Lexmark product through Lexmark, the very company that's trying to harm their aftermarket product. So I'm here today to say, why not give a West Virginia company a shot, the West Virginia company that's fighting on your behalf, that can make that very same product at a better price and can offer better service and a better process. And you'd be supporting the guy that is fighting for you. So it just seemed like a little ironic to me that the one industry that has the most to lose is basically giving their business to the company that's trying to harm the very thing they do.
Well, Eric, thank you very much indeed for joining me today.
Thank you for your interest and time, Doug. It was my pleasure.